He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Monday morning, everyone. No, it's not Friday. This is January 25th, live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And as usual, also joining us is our bond portfolio manager and investment advisor, Paul Carlson. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good Monday morning. I'm well. How are you, Barry?
Doing good. I hope you had a relaxing weekend.
It was very nice. Yeah, watched some football. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, and of course, looks like the markets are moving fast right out the gate. So,
yeah,
got a good bit to get to today. Also, we'll preview the week. At Gunderson Capital.
The earnings.
Yeah, and things are looking good. Of course, it looks like the Chinese ADRs are on fire at the moment. So we'll have to get into
both
those.
PDD,
DQ. I can't find one on the board that's from China that's doing bad. So we've got. I know they had some kind of merger, or actually big company going public. So they've got some good news out there, and I think that's probably trickling over on our end as their trading day's done for the four. So
we can talk about the foreign direct investment report too later.
Yeah, on. Yep. That's another thing that's kind of big and a changing of the guard, if you will. But overall, had a great weekend. Christina and I watched the Battle of the Bays with the boys. We felt like the Brady Rogers matchup was a piece of sports history, so we kind of made them take it in and come in from playing basketball and video games or whatever they were doing. So made them sit down for just a bit at least, to watch some TV for a change instead of all the other versions of devices out there nowadays. But so we queued up our Steve Sable and NFL. Films music, right? And the Super Bowl 45 is set. So congratulations to Kansas City and Tampa Bay Bucks. Of course, Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes both been to the Super Bowl before. Of course, you got the old and young. Of course, play for the trophy on February 7th. And also our Sarasota, Tampa, St. Pete, Villages area listeners and clients. They've got a front row seat for this in terms of witnessing, I guess, some history with Tampa playing at home, right? For one of the first team ever, I think, to play at home, in the neutral site era. My guess is Super Bowl I and II, at least looking back at the films, I believe those were probably played at the respective homes, but it looked pretty cold, so. The late Steve Sable could probably fill us in. I need to go back to pull out some of those VHS tapes that we used to have.
Yeah.
Right? But, yeah. So, but, COVID-19 continues, to kind of shape the world we live in. I know I don't think actually the teams will, I guess Tampa Bay lucked out, but I don't think Kansas City actually can't arrive until the Friday before the game. So that's a big difference than in the past where somebody, where you would show up a week ahead of time at least. So at least you won't have as much time for the players to get in trouble along the way. So that's always that's usually one of the big news stories each week leading up to Super Bowl week. So in terms of Super Bowl, kind of the super earnings week is, I guess, what we would refer to this as, right? Well,
yeah, definitely. Got some big companies. 458 earnings reports, actually. Some of the big names, Tesla, Apple on Wednesday. You've got Facebook, Boeing, just to name a few. Yeah.
Yeah, we got across all sectors, McDonald's, Verizon, AT&T. So we've got, certainly a big dichotomy. I think there's going to be about 20%. Hey, good morning. Somebody else is moving around over there this morning. Good. But we've got they're ready for that Petco deal, right? In terms of from a reporting standpoint, we've got about fifth of the S&P, as you mentioned, Paul, reporting, which is huge. And then we also have, we've got some, I think it's a third of the Dow reporting this week. So we'll preview some of that in the second segment, just to kind of give you an idea of, you know, where we've been so far earnings-wise, and then where we're going. And also we'll kind of take a peek at the Market Outlook newsletter that came out today or this weekend. And we'll look at Bill's Market Outlook in terms of how 2021 is shaping up in terms of analyst expectations, and then looking back at kind of how 2020 shaped up from an earnings and revenue perspective.
Yeah, definitely. We'll get to that. And then do you want me to recap the global markets?
Yeah, go ahead and like I said, looking good domestically. Yeah, let's get a little update from around the globe, Paul.
Yeah, so Japan, we were up 0.625%. Hong Kong up 2.5%. As you know, we were talking with the Chinese stocks up 0.5% in mainland China. India down 1%, London down 0.33%, Paris down almost 0.5%, and Frankfurt off 0.1%. And we can do the domestic market too.
Yeah,
suppose,
I've got
right?
those. Yeah, we've got just a fast start out the gates. A little bit of a dichotomy. We've got the Dow down about 119 points. Down about 0.37%, and that's...
I noticed it was GM and Boeing were pulling the Dow down.
Yep, that's right. That's right. That's what we were looking
down
at.
About 4% inch, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's, one of those interesting indices, the way it's constructed. Certain names can have a kind of an outsized effect on the index. But S&P, other two major indices are up. I've got the S&P 500 up 34 basis points or 0.34%, and that's up about 12 points total. NASDAQ's having just a fantastic day already from the start, up 1.17%, and that's almost 158 points total. So it's at 13, just dropped below 13,700, so 13,696.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, gold pretty much flat for the day, 1851. Crude up slightly. Pretty much flat at it's around 52.42 barrel at the moment, and I'm looking for the all important 10-year. I've got to
I've got it. 106.2. That's a drop of 29 basis points.
Yeah, and that's a you said 22 basis points.
Yeah,
a pretty big move.
106.2.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, 0.029 is what it's dropped.
Yeah,
Over 2.5%.
Yeah,
106 even now.
When you're at where we're at, small moves become big percentages.
A little goes a long way.
Yeah, that's right. Trying to do the math in my head. It seems like a decent move. In terms of, Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
The new gold, if you will, gold 2.0. It looks like trying to make a recovery. It looks up about 5% at the moment. It looks around right around 30. What was it? I think I had it 34.
500 or so. Yeah.
Yep.
The most fast.
Yeah. See, exactly. Yeah. If you don't like the price, just wait a little bit. Either on either side, whichever way
exactly.
You're wanting there, right? But mm-hmm. Yeah. So the European markets, of course, continue to be mixed. Kind of expected for them. I think we talked about this on Friday, them probably being the laggard in terms of the three major economic zones. But China, as you would expect, right, surpasses the U.S. in terms of top destination for foreign investment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, part of it's that they're becoming easier to invest in, right? There's more, more transparency there, kind of seemingness of of more regulation in terms of accounting standards and that type of thing, and of course being with the number of ADRs right being listed here or even in Hong Kong, right, their listing requirements are more stringent, and so that I think that's attracted more capital as well. So If you, you know, it's much easier to invest in something if you, you know, number one, you got to know it's there. And then number two, you've got to kind of know what you're investing in. So the, you know, that's kind of a big deal, in terms of, you know, just a milestone that we knew we were getting to. I mean, we've all seen, you know, whether it was 10, 15 years ago, you know, the videos of a growing China, right? So it's not, you know, it's not anything we didn't think was going to happen at some point. But today you've got a, you know, a big TikTok challenger, which is Kisho. They're owned by Tencent, and we'll get to them in a little while. But that's one of the big deals, $5 billion deal that's actually driving driving the market higher there. So, well, we'll get back to the second quarter when we come back. Best Stocks Now Radio. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with your hosts Barry Kite and Paul Carlson sitting in for Bill Gunderson today. And hey there, Paul. It looks like markets are remaining strong, a little bit more green now. Looks like S&P 500 is almost up 0.5% now. So just the Dow, Dow being dragged down by Boeing, you know, primarily
GM.
Boeing and GM okay. today, but you know, we have Boeing coming up this week in terms of earnings. But you know, one item in the newsletter each week that we like to look at is the market outlook. And so, essentially, Bill does some valuation in terms of looking forward. Gives us some price targets, right, on in terms of the S&P 500 on a forward-looking basis, and you know, to me, it's kind of one of the first places I go there in some of the technical charts just to kind of see where we're at and where we're at historically. But you know, this week, of course, like we mentioned, we've got 33% of the Dow reporting this week, and we also have I think it's 20% of the S&P 500 reporting this week, in a handful of large names in the Nasdaq space. So you know, kind of the huge super earnings week. As you know, Bill, stock prices, stocks follow earnings, right? So in terms of in terms of earnings, this gives us a good view of, you know, kind of looking back at and able to kind of get some year-to-date numbers, easy math, now that we'll have four quarters wrapped up for 2020. And so you'll be able to kind of look at those differences on a year-to-year basis and just see what the impact really has been from the from the pandemic. So kind of give you an idea of where we've been, right? So far 13% as of Friday, 13% had reported so far. Analysts of what's been reported and what analysts are looking at estimates going forward. It looks like a likely drop of about 4.7%. And, you know, that's going to be four straight quarters of decline there, right, in terms of these numbers. So not ideal, right? And so in terms of what's been reported, 86% have already beat earnings estimates so far,
yep.
Right? Yeah, mm-hmm. and 82% beat revenue estimates. So there's a combination there, right? It could be a undershooting.
Well, estimates were lowered so much. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Not that it was an easy beat, but they're performing quite well in terms of reports.
Yeah, and I kind of expect these kind of events to me, earnings, right, can be manipulated through accounting. Right? You can at some point the earnings, if you're having trouble, right, it's got to come through in the EPS numbers. But you can dress them up a bit here and there. And in times like this, is actually the time you kind of usually want to dump all your bad news onto onto your earnings, right? Because that's where you're getting kind of a free pass, if you will, to a certain extent in terms of A lot of businesses are looking further out instead of, you know, we're not judging businesses by, you know, this quarter necessarily. It's about, you know, their guidance 3 quarters
from now. The future guidance, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And so if you're going to book some, you know, book some bad investments or, you know, some losses, right, that's when you do it. Just look back at the, you know, you look back at the financial crisis, right, you know, tons and tons of write-downs. Obviously, some of those are warranted. But other ones, you know, you go ahead and take the, you know, you kind of overshoot the write-down, right, and then you get a, you get the plus back later on. And so
you get out of jail free card.
Yeah, and so the and the one thing it's harder to fake, right, is revenue. And so,
yeah.
You know, to me, the revenue important, you know, are important. You know, revenue timing recognition is one thing, but you know, revenue is revenue a lot of times. So, you know, we've beaten 82% of that time. You know, is strong as well. You know, so best so far, right, has been financials, materials, and healthcare. And that, you know, financials, obviously, part of that's interest rates, materials, right? That's going to, as bills hit, you know, so much in the commodity space.
With the weaker dollar, yeah.
Yeah, commodity space has gone through the roof. And then healthcare, and, you know, actually surprising, that's actually flowing down to their bottom line, to tell you the truth. I need to kind of dive into those a little bit more. But in terms of, you know, worst, right, energy, down, earnings down,
yeah.
Over 100% year over year. And I thought, for a second, I thought things were broken, and then I'm like, oh, it can go past 100% because it can go negative. I'm like, and so.
Like the crude oil price that day about
yeah.
4 or 5 months
ago. Right, exactly. So that's, you know, so they're down 100% year over year. Industrials down, you know, down 40%. So and I kind of see that, right, in industrials. They just have, you know, in terms of work stoppages and other things, too. For the lockdown, but you know, also to peak at revenues, right? Healthcare revenues are up 10%. Consumer discretionary, as you can imagine, on the revenue side, right? We're buying buying stuff because we have, you know, we're not traveling as much, so we've got more discretionary income, and also information technology, IT, which you know wraps up everything from Apple to chip makers to chip testers. But that space, as you can imagine, revenues have been good there. We've written about that a lot as well.
Yeah.
And in terms of energy revenues, right? So they're in two problems. One thing is to have your earnings down. The other one is to also have a 30% drop in revenue. So that's a you know that's a big deal. Versus you take industrials, they're down 40%.
Well, and by the way, you mentioned the or you sent me that article on the you know the junk bonds being sold by
right
you know, in the energy sector. Yeah.
Yep. That we
paper.
Yeah, and we hit on that one deal on Friday. Yeah, junk bonds are on their way to I think it's a record ever January in terms of junk bond issuance activity. So get it while rates are low, I guess, right? And why expectations
are chasing yield.
Yep, and why expectations are good, right? Because from you know what we get, you know, stimulus wise and everything else. So you know when we look at earnings, right? They shouldn't translate into a higher valuation, but you know, going forward, right? Bill, you know, has the information in here in the newsletter, and you know, it's kind of what we've got: earnings projection for Q1, 18.1%; revenue growth, 4.4%. You know,
yes.
First quarter is when the completion of the V-shape recovery should happen. So that's you know, 47% growth in Q2, right? And then for the full year, they're looking at 22.6% growth. So, of course, easier comps.
It's a great,
right?
Yeah, it's a great tool, the newsletter. You know, you can get that at GundersonCapital.com. You can get a free trial. Sorry if I interrupted there.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, it kind of ties in. We just got done with the, got an article published this weekend on ASE Technology, symbols ASX. But that's a company we own and followed for a while. And so, you know, if you get the newsletter, you also get on the mailing list for those alerts, just so you can kind of take a peek. Usually trying to get out once a week, one a week, and been pretty successful at doing it.
Yeah, they're
lately,
fantastic.
So,
those are great reports.
Things have been doing well. So,
yep.
Well, we'll dive into some of those, we'll dive into some of those names that are reporting this week and also look at some Best Stocks Now news when we come back after the break.
Tin soldiers and nicks
welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. With your host today, I am Barry Kite, and we have our resident bond manager, Paul Carlson, playing the role of relief captain for Bill today. Morning, yeah. Paul. Are we there?
Morning.
All right. Yeah, we. I was looking through. Some of the names that are reporting this week. It's like a. It's an all-star game of the market. It's we've got, you know, Apple, Microsoft, Tesla, Facebook, Verizon, AT&T, McDonald's. Star, little coffee company called Starbucks, MasterCard, Visa, and you know, we've got industrial names, Honeywell, GE, Caterpillar, Boeing, as you mentioned earlier. So it's, I think 3M also this week. So we'll see how many masks have been sold, from them. And so, you know, whether it's used for, all the home building going on or if it's being used for coronavirus protection. So, one way or the other, you know, we'll have a good, dichotomy of what's happened. And what most importantly is, you know, hopefully, you know, a lot of these companies are starting to give more and more guidance. You know, we had for a period there, right? We have all guidance taken away. That was, you know, in the month of March, essentially.
March.
And then whenever they reported in April and May for earnings season, right? Almost every company had no guidance, and some have been continually adding it back. Of course, for us, you know, guidance is, you know, at least gives us a it makes our job easier from a from an analyst perspective, just to give us a you know, we need some kind of you need some kind of point in terms of, you know, what your model's looking like and how you're changing those different inputs. So that it's going to be a very interesting week. Of course, you know, the Chinese stocks are taking off, as we mentioned. Tencent is a big owner, a name we own, and we've owned it a number of times over the years. But they own a big portion of a company, Kisho, who is essentially a TikTok challenger. They're looking to raise $5.4 billion. Yep.
Look at that breakout. It's $97 a share, up 7.5%.
Yeah,
664. It's up.
Yeah, and that's primarily because they own a 21.6% stake in this in this Kaisho, and I think I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But they're own 21.6%. So that's a huge they're a huge benefit to this company. Like I said, going public for $5.4 billion. Which would make it the biggest what IPO, a tech IPO, I think, since since Uber, or it was since one of them. Yeah, since Uber's $8.1 billion in May of 2019. So it'd be you know, that news is kind of driving some of these others. One name that we own and like is Li Auto. They're actually down a bit. That's LI, and they're down about 2%. Primary reason is their lockup actually ends since they recently went public this summer. Their lockup ends in tomorrow, so you're going to get some expected volatility up to that date because after that you're going to have some be able to have some insiders who are probably going to sell some shares. Usually have some softness because, you know, they want to go ahead and realize their exit at least a portion of it and turn that into cash. So. I think that was our previous article we wrote on Seeking Alpha, and I think we mentioned that in the article in terms of, you know, as you're looking for entry points, right, around now or you know, a bit after that lockup period is where, you know, you should see some softness, and sometimes it gives you a chance to get in there. So be on the lookout.
There's no guarantees, of course, but yeah, it's a possibility.
Right. No. Yeah, and something else we talked to there was, you know, on Friday was the $15 minimum wage, and how kind of how we're looking at that, you know, hurting restaurants and hospitality sector as well. So actually, some new information in terms of, you know, what all it covers. It looks to be, you know, kind of a big headwind for restaurant stocks. should it get through as is? And there's a couple
I was watching the news shows this weekend, mm-hmm. and they said that's probably a bargaining chip that'll be like the first to go when they start to negotiate in
right.
Congress. So
yeah,
it may not come around this time, but yeah, we'll see.
To me, I mean, the biggest flaw, you know, that I see it just in terms of the wages is you know, and I've served in college. You know, I think everyone should wait a table at least once. growing up, I've been in the restaurant industry since age 15, 16. But you always made $2.13 an hour, and as long as your tips got you to minimum wage, well, that it was okay for the business to pay you $2.13. And there's, essentially 43 states, follow that. It's actually called a tip credit. But, mm-hmm. Actually those wages would go to $15 an hour. So to me, bumping that up, I mean, you're at essentially per table, right, that someone waits is going to be more expensive. So how does that charge get passed on, right? So
well, they might have to go to the European model where there is no tipping or the tip's built into the price. And then they're
right.
So you just kind of change the whole compensation model potentially.
Yeah. Which takes some of the attractiveness away from being able to walk away from the night with cash, right?
Right.
So there's that was just kind of a unique twist that I read in there, and I was like, that seems pretty tough for businesses, as maybe it's doable at some point, right? But as they're coming out of this recovery, it seems just kind of a stretch and something that may not get through. So. Probably, very likely going to be modified to some form or fashion.
Right. Hey, I should mention, I just saw the Chicago Fed National Activity Index was released. That was it was a positive. It was up 0.52 in December, up from 0.31 in November. So just wanted to pass that out.
Yeah, no, I knew you would have your eye on that, on the Chicago one there, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, that's a good, good report. And I, like we said, I think we had a couple of decent economic news on Friday, but mostly, most last week was not the greatest news in terms of economics. But mm-hmm. on the flip side, makes more case for lower interest rates and more stimulus, I guess. So,
that's right.
Interesting enough, looks like Bank of America is going out on a limb. They've got Roku price target. They caught on and raised it to $500, and so apparently it was at $380 beforehand. They only waited for it to get to $422 before they decided to go ahead and move it to $500. Some of these numbers, it always throws me off when I look at them. I'm like, well, where did they move it from? And it's like $380, and I'm like, well, it's at $422, so.
Yeah,
they're on
board. A little too late.
I'm glad they're here. Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome. Catching up.
Yep. And then another positive news. This would be a positive news for Penn. Happens to be another article we've written about recently, I think right at the end of the year. But
Just before we move on to that, Roku's been number one in our app. Now for, basically well over 3 months. 3 months ago was one, 2 months ago, all the way up to today, number one out of 5,619 stocks.
Yeah.
And even 6 months ago was number eight. So it's an A+. Yeah, it's ranked number
it's
one.
Yeah, it's one we actually exited, took some profits, and I think we just got back in here recently, if I remember right. Just been amazing. Just an amazing play along, To me, it's just it's been amazing kind of how they've stayed relevant through all this. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's not easy in the old streaming wars, and so they've kind of got their niche, and it's working well. So really excited for them. I guess last thing, DraftKings launches a sportsbook app in Virginia. Apparently, Virginia sports fans are the most likely to bet on the NFL. Followed by the NBA and college football. So I don't know if that has to do with Washington. And, of course, you got a number of sports teams there, but at the same time, you've got a number of transients from other places in terms of government. And so maybe that has something to do with it. But that's positive. That'll be positive for Penn and other gaming stocks that have certainly – benefited a good bit during this time, even with all the headwinds in terms of no sports playing or not as much sports playing. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
But, yep. Well, we've got interesting stock on tap. We'll dive in terms of stock of the day. I think it ties into some of this Chinese ADRs doing so well out there, and we'll wrap up this Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour when we come back. Welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, with Paul Carlson, our bond guru and financial advisor here at the firm. Paul, we there?
Yeah, hi, Barry. Yes.
Hey,
yes.
I was just looking at you're all
this,
over that.
This GameStop, GameStop stock, and it's GME, and it's a classic short squeeze, it looks like. I think it's halted trading again at $150 a share. You basically got every share out there has been shorted, and margin clerks are taking over and just blowing out somebody, or maybe a group of funds.
Yeah, up 103% today.
Yeah, 130. Yep, 130%.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. I mean, you've got. I was watching something on this where, I mean, it's literally a battle between the shorts and the other side of the trade. And I mean, right now, obviously the other side of the trade's winning, to me, if we could trade just the volatility on this thing, that's the way to win. But,
Because
I'm pretty sure this won't end well at some point. I mean, I don't know if you've been in no offense to GameStop, but I don't know if you've been in one lately, but it's a store.
They're losing money, and it's a store. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they're in malls.
And probably empty most of the time, yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I mean, whether they're a good business or not, right, I'm not even making a judgment on that.
How would it be worth $8 billion?
Yeah, I mean, it's a store in a mall. Think about all the other stores that have been in malls lately. American Eagle just announced they're switching over just to their athletic brand. Pick your store, pick your mall. You know what it looks like when you if you've been there lately. To me, it's some form of market manipulation / short squeeze where, you know, there's a lot of money on one side fighting a lot of money on the other side. The only thing is. You know, the margin calls come on the short side. So
that's, yeah, I should add that it's ranked 300 in the app, but I wouldn't buy it. You know, and that's because all the fundamentals that we just listed.
Yeah, and, strictly momentum.
Way overvalued.
Yeah, the momentum.
So we don't just use the rankings, is what I'm saying. You know, we use a combination of criteria when we're selecting stocks.
It's a screening tool, right? So it narrows down the universe. I mean, Bill looking at 300 charts a day, right, is a lot of charts.
Or more.
Or more, right? And, knowing when there's 5,500 names in the app, you've got to narrow down the playing field a bit, right? So that's pretty much, that's pretty much what the app does. Then, you've got to dive in and know each company that you're investing in, right? We're not, can't invest in a company just based on some numbers or some output of a, of a screening tool or any
algorithm.
Right. So from that perspective, just a good lesson.
The human touch is still important, and that's, Bill's expertise, of course.
Yeah, and some things are just to stay out of. Right, yeah. I mean, a lot of times, when we change, I think that's sometimes what clients, are wondering, hey, you guys don't like so-and-so anymore because, maybe we got out of it, right? And, a lot of times.
Could be valuation.
Yeah, and a lot of times, not that we don't like it, it may just be that there's something else you like more, right? I always use the example
of
switching lanes on the way to work, right? That reference is getting more dated, right? But it's always, you know, I'm going to this lane. Why do you go? Because you think it's going to be better. So it's about, sometimes it's just about opportunity cost. So, but one stock, which.
Just opened again, 124, just dropped $25. Anyway.
That was quick.
So when they do a trading haul, basically they're trying to match up buyers and sellers.
Yeah.
Giving a little bit of time for people to put their orders in.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
That one will distract you right there. It's like a fly with a light. You can't take your eye off of it. It just looks a lot like a train. Somebody will make money, but it looks like a train wreck to me. I don't know if I'd want to. I wouldn't feel good about either side of it. Certainly.
Either side, no.
Yeah, if I was up 100 today, I don't think I'd sit tight like, yeah, this is a great idea. I'm going for the next 100. You know, I don't know. So.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so we're going to do stock of the day, right?
Yeah, stock of the day is another one we've been, actually very patient with in terms of opportunity cost is Amwell. So AMWL, that's a stock we actually covered pretty closely after it IPO'd, in terms of writing about it and seeking alpha. And, that company came out of Google. The idea is them helping run their health plan, and I've actually talked to a couple folks who are physicians with Amwell, and we wrote about them. We wrote about One Medical as well. I think that was
O-N-E-M. Yeah.
And if you look at both stocks, One Medical's done fabulously better than Amwell, but we actually owned. Kind of purchased both of those around the same time on purpose, just because it's gives you a little bit different, a bit of a different telehealth kind of feel. But they also, they also have physical locations. So it's a, it's not just, pure.
More of a hybrid?
Yeah, it's more, much more of a hybrid. And One Medical is, I would say their execution in terms of the physical location part. Has also benefited them as well. But today, Amwell's up 10.2%, the 32.5. We wrote about them back in September 30th. At that time, the stock was trading around 29.64. So as you can see, it's up about 9% since we wrote about it. 10% of that's today. And then the market's up about 14% since then. So that's one that's kind of lagged, but we kind of got in there early because they had just IPO'd, but it's, we're continue to be positive on that one. It's actually been one that we've been very, very, very patient with along the way.
Yeah, patience is important sometimes, so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, and like I said, in the idea of kind of pairing those with One Medical, One Medical's done very well. Since we've owned it. And so, it's one of those things where we kind of paired them up and it's worked. On the aggregate.
Diversification. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. On the aggregate, you look at it and we've got, I think that one's up 87%, in 136 days. We wrote about that one 19 days before Amwell. So just, kind of a unique, give you a new, unique perspective on kind of how we pair stocks. In the same portfolio for the same reasons. Just sometimes, they're going to react differently, which by design, sometimes it's by design, right?
So, yeah.
But anything else you're getting into this week, Paul?
Well, let's just let everyone know that they could schedule an appointment to talk with you or I. That's through 855-611-BUST.
Give Edie a call.
GunnarssonCapital.com.
Yeah, give Edie a call. She'll get everything set up, and look forward to talking to you guys. But thanks for the time today, and you guys have a great one. We'll see you tomorrow.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.